to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
I want to begin today, as I often do, by asking you a question, maybe a couple of questions to get you thinking along the lines of the direction I believe God wants us to focus today. The question is this: who did you want to be like when you were growing up? Now, growing up, oh, I like that. I see a young man pointing to his mother. That's a great testimony right there. You know, growing up, we had all kinds of dreams and plans and thoughts and wrestlings with what do I want to be when I grow up? And sometimes tied to that is, who would I like to be like? And perhaps you can remember certain people that were in your mind when you were growing up that some you would be glad to share. Others is like, I don't want to share that. I would not want to share that with somebody. You know, for many young people, it may be a certain musician or a certain athlete or a certain person who has a lot of money or a position. There's a lot of different standards or criteria we might use as to who we might like to be like. I remember when we pastored in, Memphis. It was Morenci. That's forever ago. And there was a little boy in our church, and he says, when I grow up, I want to be just like Pastor Tim or Carmen. Either one's fine with me. And some of you may remember who Carmen is or was. He passed away this last year, a great singer, Christian singer. But he had it in his mind exactly who he wanted to be like. As you had that person in your mind, did you ever go so far to try to do things just like they did? You know, for musicians and athletes, that's a lot more seeable. You know, there's a certain basketball player, cricket player, so, you know, you would study the way they did certain things, and when you practice, you would try to do it the same way, or the same thing maybe with a musician, the way they played that guitar or that bass, you try to do it just the same way. There's this thing about imitating. You know, that's a very important principle. In fact, it's a principle that companies use today to train new employees. If you hire an employee for a particular position, if you have someone that's already very, very effective in that position, it's good to assign that new hire to them to, quote, shadow them and to learn from them so that they can become like them. I know at Sonny's, where we're chaplains, they do that with new hires. They take the person who's new, a new server perhaps, and they will assign them to a server that they think is doing a really great job, and have them follow along and learn from that person. Well, I want to follow up with another question. Most of us have grown up, at least physically, since those days of saying, well, I want to be like them when I grow up. But even at your age and stage of life, let me ask you, who would you like to be like now? In any way, and for whatever reason, for whatever purpose, as you view people that you maybe you know or don't know at all, but who would you like to be like, or who would you like to be more like now? And I want to encourage you to judge that, to consider that, not just based on their abilities or possessions, because, well, I would like to be, you know, like Bill Gates, at least as far as his bank account's concerned, you know. But not just abilities or possessions, but because of who they are as a person, their character, their personality, the way they relate to people, the way they respond to situations and circumstance, perhaps because of their spirituality and relationship with God. Now, I know what the spiritual answer is, right? Who would you like to be like? I want to be like Jesus. And I tell you, that's the right answer. That's the right answer. There are other human beings that we could emulate, that we could see good characteristics or traits in, that we say, I'd like to be more like this. But the right answer, the best answer, is I want to be more like Jesus. And today I'm going to start a new sermon series. I don't know exactly how long it's going to go, probably through summertime, or at least for a little while. And it's called Christ-like. Christ-like. And my prayer, my desire, is that I be challenged and that you be challenged to be more Christ-like. To be like Jesus. And today we're going to introduce the whole topic, and the title of my sermon today is Becoming Like Jesus. And we're going to talk about why should that be a goal? Why should we seek to act toward, you know, put forth energy and effort to become like Jesus? And our passage is Luke chapter 6, just two short verses. Luke chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. Right in the middle of a very famous and well-debated passage on judging, whether or not you should judge and how you should judge and don't judge me. Didn't even Jesus say to judge not? You're saying, oh, I want to hear about that. That's not the title topic of the sermon today. But right in the middle of that passage, Jesus tells this really short parable. Verse 39 says, Jesus also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? One of the messages of that short line is be careful who you follow. Be careful who you emulate. Be careful whose example you take as something you want to follow. Because if you're following a blind man, you're both going to fall in a ditch. And obviously that's metaphorical to all kinds of situations. But then he says in verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained will be like his teacher. And that's what I really want us to focus on today as we consider why should we seek to become like Jesus? Why should we seek to become Christ-like? Because everyone, when he is fully trained, when he is fully matured, when he is fully developed, will be like his teacher. And this is a challenge. It is a challenge to become Christ-like because we need to pursue it not just in a casual way. And my plan and my goal over the next several weeks, maybe the next couple of months, is that we take a close look at Jesus' life, to deliberately study his life and make it a point to imitate him. And not just what he taught as far as applying his teachings, but what he did. Can I tell you, and I've told you this before, that that really is the true meaning behind the concept of being a disciple. Jesus called men and women to be his disciples. And he still calls us to be his disciples. And to be a disciple was more than just, well, teach me something and I'll try to apply it. In that day and age, a disciple was a follower, was a learner. And they would attach themselves to a rabbi or a teacher. And the idea is, I want to learn from you, but I don't want to just learn what you know. I've observed you and I see what kind of person you are and I do want to know what you know. I want you to teach me what you know, but I want you to teach me how you became the person you are because I want to be like you. I want to have your character. I want to relate to people and circumstances the way you do. That's a very expanded understanding, but a true understanding of what a disciple truly is. And, you know, our mission statement is that we exist to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So this idea, this sermon series goes right along with our mission and our goal as a church to help people become more fully devoted as followers of Christ. So, why should I try to become like Jesus? Is it just a good idea for a sermon series or is there more to it than that? And this morning I want to share with you five thoughts about becoming like Jesus. Five thoughts about becoming like Jesus. First of all, becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. Now, this one doesn't even have to have a, quote, spiritual application, although it certainly does. But just in general, can you imagine what the world would be like if people all over the place would just say, I want to become more and more like this guy, Jesus. Even if they don't believe that he's God, even if they don't believe that, you know, he's the Son of God, even if they don't believe that he's coming back someday, but if they were to say, hey, there is this guy who lived in history and we've got some records of his life and of his teachings, he seems like a pretty good guy, I want to become more like him. That all by itself would revolutionize the world, would revolutionize many and most of the problems that we have and how we deal with them. Can I tell you that there are a lot of people who don't recognize Jesus as God? They only see him as a man who lived at a point in history, pretty famous though. I mean, we still know about him 2,000 something years later, who think he is a great guy. Jesus is a good example in so many ways. His character, his personality, the way that he related to people, the way he responded to situations. And so we should seek to become like Jesus because it's going to make me a much better person, especially compared to some of the other people I could perhaps emulate or look to be an example. You know, it's a very clear principle, and it's taught in Scripture too. You become like the people that you spend time with. You become like the people that you emulate. You become like the people you take as examples in your life because that's the whole point. They're your example for you. I want to become just like them. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." That's one of the lessons we try to teach our children and our grandchildren when they're young, isn't it? Maybe you remember all the way back to when you were a child. And your parents or those who were guardians or meaningful to you would say, "Listen, you really don't need to be spending so much time with whoever it is." Fill in the blank. They may have even been so bold to say, "You know what? You don't need to be spending any time with so-and-so." Can you remember times when someone says something like, "You can really tell that he's been hanging around so-and-so lately"? Why? Because they're acting like it. Right? Yeah. Again, that was kind of behind what Jesus said in our two-verse passage today in verse 39 when he says, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit?" If we're following, hanging out with, spending time with, allowing other people to influence us that are going the wrong way, we're going to be going the wrong way too. And if they're doing the wrong things, we're going to end up doing the wrong things too. You know, another very famous saying that parents have is, "If so-and-so jumped off a cliff, would you jump off too?" You know, because that was usually in response to, "Well, I did it because so-and-so did it." You know, a friend or someone they're hanging out with. Because that principle is so prevalent, so obvious, that we are influenced by the people we hang out with. We are influenced by the people that we take as role models, that we take as examples. And so becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. On the positive side, when we take someone on as an example, we look up to someone who is a positive example, we are influenced in a positive way. I like the way Proverbs puts it in Proverbs 13:20. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." If you want to be wise, you need to hang out with wise people. If you want to hurt yourself, just hang out with some foolish people. Now, most people don't set out to hurt themselves. But to be honest with you, there are many times that we may set out to hang out with people who act foolishly, and we think that it won't really affect us. But we've got to be careful. You know, when you aspire to be like someone good and you spend time with them and imitate them, you will become like them. And that's a good thing. And so becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. And second of all, and this is much more important for those of us that are Christ followers and we love and want to love and serve God, becoming like Jesus is God's plan for me. It's very clear in Scripture that, you know, God wants us to become like Jesus. It's something He's planned for all along. In Romans 8:28, 29, 30, there's some real deep theological truths that we are not going to dig into today. But there is this one statement. It says that those that God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, whichever theological camp you fall into with all the stuff that's involved in these verses, one thing that's sure is that this verse is saying that those that have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it was God's plan from the very beginning that they become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes, especially when we're young, but even when we get older, we wrestle with this whole thing of, what is God's will for me? When we're young, you know, we're like, okay, if we're even concerned about it at all, you know, it's like, well, what does God want me to do with my life? What should my career be like? And that oh so important question is, who am I supposed to marry? You know, all these questions about God's will. Where should I live? And even as we are older, we can wrestle with those questions. When we were facing a decision, a major purchase, a career change, a job change, a relationship issue, What is God's will? And those are things we should wrestle with. And I firmly believe with all my heart that if we truly seek to follow the Lord and do what we know He wants us to do on a regular basis, it will become clearer and clearer on these other issues that we're not so sure about. And there's a number of things that God's Word tells us very clearly. These are His will. And one of them is this. He says, it's His plan that you become more and more like Jesus, that you become conformed to the image of His Son. You know, when we were parents, for those of us that were and are, we probably had all kinds of goals for our children as they were growing up. And in the process, we tried to influence them along the way. Sometimes perhaps we did too much to try to influence them because in many areas, even though we want to see our children go a certain way, it's still their choice to make. Occupation, education, all that kind of thing. And we definitely need to pray about it for our children, our grandchildren too. But can I tell you that we need to be just as concerned about the type of people that our children and grandchildren will become. Just as concerned about that as we are about what they're going to do for a living and all these other things. That's definitely something we need to pray about. And I would say that that's one area where maybe we as parents and grandparents don't need to hold back as much of trying to have an influence, because there's nothing wrong with trying to influence our children or our grandchildren to become better people, to become more like Jesus. And we see that this was God's goal. This is God's goal. This is God's plan for me. He wants me to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, maybe we realize that. Maybe you are in a situation where you understand that's what's supposed to happen and you've been working on it, but you're discouraged because you failed so many times. Maybe perhaps you even got to the point where you feel like giving up. Maybe you already have given up. It's like, well, you know, I've tried to be like Jesus. I've tried to live for God. I've tried to do this, and I try so hard, and I just keep failing over and over. I blow it. I mess up. Can I tell you that God always is willing to help us when we come to Him and say, God, I've blown it again. Would you help me? The Bible makes it very clear that whenever we've sinned, when we repent of that sin and come back to God, God will forgive us. Whenever we've messed up and we come back to God and say, God, I've messed up and I want to do better, God will help us. And we need to take advantage of the resources that He makes available to us. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the message today. But don't give up. And can I tell you one thing to give you hope is that eventually, when we get to eternity, God's goal, God's plan will be accomplished. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He, talking about Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. The Bible says that there will come a day when all those impurities will be finally and completely wiped away, washed away. But that could, if we're not careful, cause us to maybe want to get a little lazy. And we don't need to do that either. To say, well, you know what? One day I'll be made perfect. One day I won't have to deal with all this stuff anymore. And God's going to forgive me, so I just won't worry about it. But I think that's why John tacked on that last verse. He says, everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. In other words, he says, you know what? One day God's going to take care of all the junk we have to wrestle with. It won't even be an issue anymore. But we don't just kick back and coast and say, okay, well, I'll just wait till then and say, well, thank God that's going to happen. I want to do the best I can right now to do that. So becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. It's God's plan for me. And the third thing is that becoming like Jesus is the best way I can help others. Becoming like Jesus is the best way that I can help others. Paul said something that I think most of us really hesitate to say about ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Some translation says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul's not being egocentric here. Paul's not trying to say, look at me, I'm wonderful, I'm perfect. In fact, he admitted many times that he wasn't perfect. But what he was trying to say to the people that he's writing to, the people that are in the church that he had founded, and to any other believers that would be willing to listen and to read the words he wrote, he says, listen, we need to follow Jesus. We need to become more and more like him. But at that time, a lot of the New Testament, most of the New Testament had not even been written yet. There weren't any written records. And even for the things that were written down, people couldn't have their own copies like we do now. And so the question is, how do we do that? What does that look like? We didn't know Jesus. We didn't walk with Jesus like the 12 and the 72 and others that followed Jesus around when he was here on the earth. So how can we become like Jesus? And Paul says, okay, I'm doing my best to follow Jesus. So just do what I'm doing as I follow Christ. I really believe what he's trying to say is, to the degree that I'm doing the right thing, that's what you need to do. You see, a principle here is not only are we influenced by so many people that are around us, but we influence everybody around us also. We don't like to admit that sometimes. Say, oh, I'm not a very big influence. That's not true. It is true we can look at someone who is a leader, someone in government or even in the church, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, and say, well, you know what? They have great influence because of their position. But you know what? Every single one of us has a tremendous influence on anybody who comes close to us, good or bad or indifferent. I mean, again, if you have children, and if you don't, I'm not trying to marginalize you, but if you have children, look at how much your children turned out like you. Even though they swore all along, I am never going to be like you. You laugh and say amen. But how many of you can say, you know what? I'm like my parents in ways that I never thought that I'd be like my parents. Lots of hands going up, right? Because we said the same thing. When I grow up, I'm going to be totally different because you're not, fill in the blank, you're not fair, you're whatever. We have a tremendous impact and influence on the people around us. But we don't need to take this as a thing to be feared, but as an opportunity to be used. That's why Paul says what he does. You know, Paul's saying, I've gotten to a certain point in my life of following Jesus that he has totally and completely changed me. And I want that for you. And if you're not sure what that looks like, if you're not sure how to do that, then just follow my example to the degree that I'm following the example of Christ. You know, when I asked the question at the very beginning of my message is, when you were young, who did you want to be like? And I said, a young man pointed next to him to his mother. That was a tremendous testimony. I don't know what was in his mind as far as the specific reasons, the specific things, the specific character traits, but I guarantee you they were all good. They were all good. Does that mean she was a perfect mother? I don't know, maybe she was. But even if she wasn't, it meant that that good, that which she did right, shone forth and was so strong that it caused her son to say, I want to be like her when I grow up. Don't take it as something to be feared, but as an opportunity to be used. Paul repeated something similar to this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And I want to encourage you to take that as a challenge, to look at your own life and to say, could I say to my best friend, could I say to my spouse, could I say to my children and my grandchildren, could I say to my coworkers, could I say to those that are with me in school, could I say to the people that I work with, that, you know what, if you really want to get to know Jesus and try to become more like him because he was a really good guy, then try to live like I do. And that's scary. And one of the reasons is because we certainly aren't perfect yet, and we have a tendency to focus on our failures. But I want to encourage you to look and see, what is it in your life that you're doing right? And take the challenge that, what is it that I need to change to become more like Christ-like? Paul wrote to Timothy. He was a very young pastor and had been his protege. In fact, Paul basically said he was his son in the faith. In other words, he kind of adopted him spiritually. And he had trained him up, and Timothy had traveled with him, and now Timothy's pastoring. And he says in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth. Now, some of us would say that disqualifies me. Forget the youth part, okay? Just apply the rest of it. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Can I say that'd be a great verse to memorize? That'd be a great verse to meditate on. That'd be a great verse to pray over on a regular basis. Lord, I want to be used by you. Lord, I want to do your will. I want to become the person you want me to be. And I want that to influence other people. So Lord, shine your light on my heart. Shine your light on my mind. Lord, reveal things to me. How am I doing? How am I doing with my speech? With the words that come out of my mouth? How am I doing with the way I live my life? How loving am I? How faithful and faith-filled am I? Am I a person of faith? And is that obvious and evident? Is purity important to me? Challenge you to do that. So becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. It's God's plan for me. It's the best way I can help others. And the fourth one, probably should have made this one earlier. Becoming like Jesus is actually evidence that I'm a Christian. Becoming like Jesus is evidence that I'm a Christian. Sometimes people wrestle with, am I really right with God or not? They don't have the security of their salvation. That's a topic for another time. If we accept God's gift of salvation by confessing our sins and repenting and turning to God and asking Him to forgive us because of what Jesus did, we put our trust, faith, and hope in Him, then we are Christians. But a sure sign of that is this whole idea is that we're being changed. We're becoming more like Jesus. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. He says, by this we know that we've come to know Him. He says, you want to know whether you really know Jesus or not? If we keep His commandments, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in Him. He says, listen, if you claim to have a relationship with God that's not changed your life, you're not concerned about doing what's right and walking in obedience to what God's called you to do, you're a liar. Now, I didn't say that. God did through John. He says, whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. He said, if you say that you abide in Him, and we just talked about this on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago because we're doing this Bible study series on lessons from the upper room. And Jesus talked about how we are like branches attached to a vine. And He's the vine, the source of life, that life-giving flow. And we need to stay attached, connected. We need to abide in the vine. Abide, that same word is used here. We got to stay connected. And so John is saying here, he says, if you say you're connected to Jesus, you've got a relationship with Jesus, His life is flowing through you, it'll be evident because you walk the same way He walked. What does that mean? In Scripture, the word walk is often used to talk about lifestyle. You will live, you will have the same lifestyle, you will conduct yourself the same way. See, to walk as Jesus did doesn't mean we need to go out and choose 12 disciples and perform great miracles and get crucified. Thank you, Jesus. But to walk as Jesus walked, it means to become like Him. To become Christ-like. We can't merely copy His life. Our claim to live in Christ must be backed up by following His example. Complete devotion to God and loving service to people and how that changes us and how that works in us and through us as to how we deal with people, how we deal with circumstances. To the degree that we see that happening in our lives, it's like, yes, I'm on the right track. Now please know, none of us are perfect. We're still a work in progress. When the enemy would come to you and say, see, you're not even a Christian because you let that word come out of your mouth. See, you're not even a Christian because you treated that person that way. Can I tell you that if you truly put your faith in Christ, you need to say to the enemy, say, yes, I am, because I am putting my trust in Jesus Christ. And I blew it, but I'm going to get that thing under control with God's help. But that needs to be our attitude. So becoming like Jesus will make me a much better person. It's God's plan for me. It's the best way I can help others. It's evidence that I am a Christian. And the last thing I want to share with you, and this has more to do with the application, and that is this. Becoming like Jesus is something I can't do by myself. It's not even in my notes, but as soon as I said that, I thought to myself, I'm so glad we have each other. So this isn't even in my notes. It's not even the main point of this point, but I want to throw it in because it's significantly important, and that is one of the reasons we have each other. That is one of the reasons why God calls us into families. And I don't mean our birth family or whatever. Those are significantly important. But I'm talking about the family of God. So why it's so important that we need to be involved with a group of other believers and united together with them in service, in love, in growth, in ministry. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. But that's not what I meant by this point. But it's important. Okay, what I really mean by this is the fact that this is not just an issue of trying to become a better person. There are plenty of people who may be out there and say, well, I don't believe Jesus is God, and he just came to earth, but he was a good person. I want to become more like him. And they're really trying to do that, and they have no faith, no spirituality as far as what we would consider that, and they're becoming better people, and that's great. And there's a certain amount that we can do in our own strength. But can I tell you that we cannot be fully and completely successful without depending upon the strength that God provides? We cannot be fully and completely Christ-like. We cannot become totally like Jesus Christ without God's help. And it's not just an issue of saying, God, help me. I need your help in this area, which we should do and we need to do. But it's an issue of allowing Jesus to live his life through us. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, listen, you know what? I've surrendered my life to Christ, so he was crucified, so I've died to my old life. I could add to what he says here because he says it in other places. You know, he was buried and he was raised to new life in the same way Christ's new life lives within me. So I don't live for myself anymore. In fact, I'm not even the one, you know, I'm trying not to even be the one that lives. I'm trying to allow Christ to live through me, to be so surrendered and submitted to him and empowered by him that his life has flown into me not only to save me from my sins, but to help me become like him. I got this quote, and I didn't write down where I got it from. I should have, but I love this. It says, the true Christian life is not so much a believer's living for Christ as Christ's living through the believer. The true Christian life is not so much a believer's living for Christ, which is good, which is what we should do, but that's not the primary focus. The true Christian life is not so much a believer's living for Christ as Christ living through the believer. Now, can I tell you that the most important foundational fact to this is that you must be a believer? And I did kind of talk about this really briefly and quickly a few minutes ago, and that is that we're talking here about becoming like Christ because we have accepted him into our lives. We do believe that he is God and the Son of God, and he came to this earth for a purpose, and he still is alive, and he is coming back. But let me make it very, very clear for anybody who might be here, anybody might be watching online, that the very first step is that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior before we even try to become Christ-like. Or maybe I could say it's more important even than those steps to try to be Christ-like. The Bible makes it very, very clear that we are all sinners. And because of that, we are separated from God. Romans also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when Jesus came to earth, some of you are saying, Pastor, you've said this so many times. Good, I'm glad you recognize that. One of the reasons I repeat this over and over and over again is because there's always more people that need to hear it. And I also figure if I repeat it over and over and over again, maybe eventually you'll get to where you can say the same thing or something similar and you'll be more confident in sharing your faith. But anyway, Jesus came to earth not just to be a good example. So this morning we could say, I want to be more like Jesus. That's true. He didn't come just to be a good teacher, to talk about the solutions to the problems and the answers to the questions, but he came to die. Jesus, God himself, took on flesh, came to earth, became man and lived the perfect life that we cannot live, to die a death that he did not deserve, to pay the price for our sins. And you say, I don't really understand. That's also convoluted. How does that work out and all that kind of stuff? And let me just tell you that you don't have to understand all the little details of it to believe it and to accept it. But to say that God's word makes it very clear that we could do nothing of significance about our sin and the wall and the barrier and the chasm that put between us and God. So Jesus came to take care of it, to pay the price for it. And so when Jesus died on the cross, God basically said that, I'll take that as payment for their sins. Say, great, everybody's good, everybody's going to heaven. He says, no, the gift of God is eternal life, and we must accept that gift. There are many, many people who reject it. And accepting it is so simple. I'm not saying living the life that follows is simple. We've been talking about that all morning long. But accepting that gift is simple. It's just coming to God, saying, God, I am a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. Your word says it will separate me from you for eternity if something is not done. And I thank you that you did something about it. You sent Jesus to die for me. So I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sins. I don't want to live in sin anymore. Well, I sort of do, but I don't. So you're going to have to help me with that. Please forgive me because of what Jesus did, not because of what I can do. And I trust in him, and I surrender my life to you. Now live your life through me. Fill me with your spirit. Something along those lines, and God will respond. The Bible makes it clear that you can start a relationship with him, and I challenge you and I encourage you to do that today if you have not yet done that. But once we've done that, even when we've done that, becoming like Jesus is not something we can do by ourselves. But thankfully, the Bible makes it very clear that when we accept Jesus, our Savior, he comes not in an observable way, and in most cases, not even a way we can feel. He comes to dwell within us by his Spirit. And he is there to help us. The good thing is that God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He will help us. And one of the greatest resources we have is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when we become believers, when we become Christians, when we surrender our lives, all the steps I just shared with you, it says his Spirit comes to dwell within us. And then even beyond that, it says that God wants to fill us full of his Spirit, full to overflowing. We see it demonstrated when he sent the Spirit initially on the day of Pentecost. And Paul writes, be filled with the Spirit. And the word that's used here is be continually filled with the Spirit, continually dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be our focus for next week. Next week happens to be Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate when God sent his Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that because, whether you realize this or not, when Jesus lived his life, he came to earth. He became man, but he was also fully God. But he didn't do what he did just in his own strength as a man or even just in his own strength as God. The Bible makes it very, very clear that he himself was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Holy Spirit. And what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to take a look at next week when we talk about being Christ-like. What's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives based on what the role of the Holy Spirit was in Jesus' life? But all that to say that God will help us. God will help us. So in the weeks to come, we're going to look at Jesus' life and we're going to see what he did and how he did it and how he related to people and how he related to God. And we're going to pick up whatever we can from his example. Not just his teachings, but what he did so that we can deliberately choose to try to be like him with God's help. I want to finish with this one verse in Acts chapter 4. This is after Jesus died, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven. And Peter and John had been preaching in the temple. The religious leaders opposed them just like they opposed Jesus. They are arrested. They are called before the Sanhedrin. And they are warned to stop doing this. And Peter's response basically is, listen, you tell us to stop doing this, but God's telling us to do something else. Who do you think we should listen to? And the response, it says here in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That last part there, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. What does that mean? How did they recognize that they had been with Jesus? I propose to you, it's because they saw the impact and the influence of Jesus on their lives. I don't know about you, but that is a great verse for me to say, God, I want that to be true of me. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to see Jesus' influence on my life by the way that I live my life. I want people to see Jesus' influence in what I allow comes out of my mouth, in the things that I do, in the way that I relate to people, especially when I'm dealing with problems, because it's easy to love people that love you back. In the lifestyle I choose, the things that I do and I don't do, not to be legalistic, but Lord, what pleases you and what would Jesus do if he was in my situation? I want to be like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. I want Jesus to live through me. I want people to see Jesus in me. And I want to be able to say, like Paul did, not egotistically, but follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect. But to the degree that I get things right, follow my example, and I'm going to help you along the way, and I'm going to need your help too. Let's all stand together. And I want to challenge you to take these words and to meditate on them and to allow God to stir within your heart this desire that I'm sure from most of you, many of you, you already have. I want to be like Jesus. To just stir that and to make that stronger and to put within you a desire of like, you know what, I'm going to dig in over these next several weeks. And as pastor preaches this, I'm going to meditate on it and I'm going to take notes or I'm going to pursue this during the week. I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to examine my life. And I want to make this summer a time of saying, I want to become more like Jesus. Where a couple months from now, people will look at me and say, man, you've really changed. I challenge you to take that as something you wrestle with, just like I am too. At this time, our worship team is going to lead us in another song, as we have been doing through COVID. I'm going to invite our staff, Pastor Henry and Emma, Pastor Jan, our elders, if you're here and available, to come down front. And as we sing, if you need prayer for anything, be related to a message, but it doesn't have to be. Got something coming up, a decision to make, some health issue. Maybe there's somebody, you know, there's something that you want us to pray with you about. It doesn't have to do with you, but somebody you really care about, to say, I want to go down so we can join together to pray. This would be the time to do that. And then after a couple of moments, I'll come back and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to sing that song, I am a child of God. You sent Jesus to die on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. As we put our trust in him, we can stand here, sit here, whatever position we're in, free from sin, free from guilt, free from shame, free from bondage. Father, help us to walk in that freedom. And God, I pray that you continue to work in our lives, Lord God, to make us more like Jesus, to help us to be Christ-like. Show us what that means. Show us what that looks like. God, I pray for myself. I hope others would join me that when I say or do something that is not Christ-like, I pray that you would prick my spirit, Lord God, by your spirit. I pray that you would convict me and say, listen, that could have been done or said differently. This is the way Jesus would have done it in your circumstance. And God, I thank you that you don't stand over us in judgment, but that parent that wants to help his child to walk more strongly and more straightly. Help me to do that, Lord God. I pray that you would lead us as a church throughout these next several weeks on a path to have a passion to be Christ-like. And not just for our own benefit, but so that other people will see Jesus in us and it will make them hungry and thirsty for what we have. And we'd have opportunity, Lord God, to have an influence on them, not just to be better people, but perhaps to meet our Savior. Give us wisdom on how to go about doing that. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you that when we leave this place, your presence goes with us, because you're always with us. And we recognize that this week we're going to need your help. So we ask for help right now, Lord. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.